Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 198, Demystifying Your Freezer with Andrew Zimmern. Everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I am Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that's all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, learning new things, and having fun. Today, I've got a very special guest. I'm welcoming Chef Andrew Zimmern to the show, and we're going to be talking about that most mysterious of spaces in every home cook's kitchen, the freezer. More on that in a moment, but for today's episode, if you want the show notes and to check out some of the links that Andrew mentions in this episode, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/198, and you'll find it all there. Again, that's kitchencounterpodcast.com/198 for the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to get in touch with me directly, send an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, and even in our own private Facebook group for the show, the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break, which if you're interested in that, lots of great people in there, lots of food picks and questions and tips and things like that, and people just sharing their love of home cooking. That you can find over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. It is a Facebook group. It'll redirect you there, and you can ask to be let in. So check that out if you're still a Facebook person. I know a lot of us aren't, but if you're still on the old Facebook, go check that out. Also, don't forget the Kitchen Counter Podcast is a proud member of the Nitty Grits Podcast out of the Southern Food and Beverage Museum in New Orleans. If you want to check more out about the Southern Food and Beverage Museum or the Nitty Grits Network, some other great shows out there, all food related, head over to southernfood.org. Andrew Zimmern is a 4-times James Beard award-winning TV personality, chef, writer, and teacher. He's also an Emmy winner, and I'm guessing that most of you are probably most familiar with Andrew through his long-running Travel Channel TV series, Bizarre Foods, or one of its associated spin-off shows. Andrew also has a great show out on Magnolia TV, which is also available on Discovery Plus streaming, called Family Dinner, where he travels around the United States eating dinners with families of various cultural, social, economic backgrounds, and just showing everybody how similar we are and having a lot of fun in the process, eating a lot of good food. Andrew is going to stop by today, and we're going to talk a little bit about what we're calling demystifying the freezer, you know, talking about how home cooks use or perhaps don't use their home freezers properly for storing and cooking out of. It's an initiative he's been working on with Hillshire Farms. So in this conversation, a lot of ground is covered. We talk a little bit about Andrew's new television series, Family Dinner. And then we jump into the freezer topic, and Andrew offers a lot of tips and advice and just some really good insight on how Americans approach storing and, you know, trying not to waste food and some of the pitfalls that come along with that as well. Again, in this episode, there's a lot of references to recipes and other websites and things like that. KitchenCounterPodcast.com/198 will get you all of that. All right, without further ado, let's jump into this great conversation with Chef Andrew Zimmern. Andrew, thanks so much for being here today. Really excited to have you on the show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I'm thinking a lot of people probably know you. I first learned about you, of course, from the whole Bizarre Foods series. You have multiple series of that going on. But I have recently been watching, and I just wanted to jump into this real quick before we get into the meat of the subject. I've been watching your Family Dinner show and have been absolutely loving it. It's on, I'm getting it through Discovery Plus.
Yeah, on Magnolia, Discovery Plus, the Magnolia app, and then launching in linear January 4th or 5th. I forget what that Monday is, but that first full Monday after January 1st. it goes linear as well. And I'm very proud of the show. Thank you for the compliment.
You should be. It covers the topic in a way that I don't like the way most food television covers food topics. I mean, you're going to a family's home, and it's not like one of these shows where you're just showing up and like, hey, let's see what's in your fridge and cook something. I mean, they're inviting you into their home. Mm-hmm. They come from a wide variety of cultural backgrounds. They're inviting mm-hmm. you for a family dinner, and you just sort of ride along with it.
And it's not rehearsed. It's not, I mean, I hide in the car. I, you know, it's the, well, I don't want to meet the people before right. I meet them and the cameras are rolling. I how families relate to one another, what they share, how they operate generationally, it shows our commonality in ways that I don't think anything else can. In Bizarre Foods, you know, I made 8 million episodes of that show for 13 years all over the planet. And the one thing that I insisted every episode had was a family meal. We never put a circle around it. We never put a chyron around it. We never lower thirded it. But we always had a family meal in that show. And the reason was, is that we aired in 175 countries. So I wanted people in Japan to see how people in Arkansas ate. And I wanted people in Arkansas to see how people in Paraguay ate and think to themselves, wow, that looks like my family, regardless of what language was spoken or the color of their skin or what was on the table. And so when I had the opportunity to do this show, and Discovery Magnolia approached me and said, we want a show from your production company. What do you think? And I said, how about family dinner? I thought that was very Magnolia. They agreed. And then they asked me to host it. And I said, sure. And I didn't know at the time, I knew I would enjoy it, but I didn't know at the time how truly revealing and fascinating it would be. As season two is even more revealing about, you know, we're better. I'm better at asking the right questions. We're better at shooting the right stuff. We're better at casting families. And that's just a natural thing that happens with production companies from season one to two on a show. But the depth of experience, the things that families are sharing with us are so personal. And I think we are at a time, a hinge point in our country's history where we need to know each other better. We just need to know each other better. And I think it's a very prescriptive show. I do believe that we have lost connection over, you know, things we're always trying to rush and everybody's overscheduled. And you know, we know the issues that have come up for families that can afford the time, right, or the dollars to all sit down together on a regular basis. These families have all made it a primary objective in their life, even if it's just once a month. They insist on doing it for certain reasons, and I'm hoping that it inspires other people, biological or non-biological families, to sit down and share a meal with each other. I think the more meals we share, the better off we are as a society. I really do believe that it has an incremental impact for the positive. And I know with, you know, kids running in and out of my house and all the rest of that stuff, it's you know, corralling everyone and sitting down and actually sharing what happened during our day is of primary importance. And the food is really great. I mean, it's a fun food show. Like some of that stuff, I mean, there's some things coming, I mean, what's better than someone's grandma making stuffed cabbage that floats down your throat on angel's wings? It's so light and you just can't believe how she does it and why every single package looks the same, and this reverse tuck and these little grandma tips and tricks that I just adore. I've learned a lot about cooking shooting the show over the last year and a half.
Yeah, well, it's very well done. And so thanks for doing that show. I'm looking forward to the next season coming out. But let's talk about something else that's near and dear to family cooks, home cooks. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk a little bit about, I guess we'll call it demystifying the freezer. I guess that's what we're talking about. And I have to share a quick anecdote, because this is so true. And especially in the pandemic world, right? So mm-hmm. I swear just 2 weeks ago, my wife and I froze some chicken that we were going to use later, yep. right? So, the other night we're going to make it. Let's get the chicken out. We'll thaw it. We'll cook something up with it. We go to the freezer and we can't find it anywhere. Inexplicably. However, we did pull out a Ziploc bag of chicken that was marked like June 2019. Mm-hmm. A couple of old chicken breasts. And I'm thinking, how is that? How did this chicken elude like capture for 2+ years? And now it looks terrible and I'm probably going to have to toss it out, right? I think that's part of the mystery of the freezer for me anyway. I don't think time works the same way there. But anyway, what do we mean when we're talking about demystifying the freezer?
Well, I think home cooks forget that their freezer is a repository of awesome. And we at times use it as something in between a garbage bag and a dream, right? I will do something with this. This is not a throwaway item. I paid money for it and it's going in. Now, some advanced cooks will very purposely make stock and put it away and they'll do it a certain way. But the average home cook has both a need for like, I need ice. I need to put ice cream in something. And then it's also a repository for leftovers and dreams like, oh, there was a sale on chicken legs. I used 6, the other 8 that kept in the pack, I'm freezing for next week's dinner. And we lose track of what's in there. We just do. Everything starts to turn the same color on the outside of the container, sort of a frosty white. And, I started working with the folks at Hillshire Farm on this initiative about, you know, how people use their freezer. And I found out something absolutely fascinating. They commissioned a poll on how people feel about their freezer. And they, you know, a majority said their freezer was intimidating. You open up the door and there's all this stuff. It's usually overstuffed. You can't tell what's in it. It's in a place that the freezer's always at a place in the kitchen, at least mine is in every house I've lived in, where I don't have a table that I can slide up next to it and unload everything onto it and look at everything at once and say, what do I got? Right. And it's an incredible experience to actually dive into your freezer and kind of inventory it the way that, you know, I do on a very regular basis. You know, we have big chest freezers at our studio kitchen that piles up stuff. We have 24 packs of banana leaves. I had to tell someone, let's just take it to this local Vietnamese restaurant that we do takeout from all the time and give it to them because they use it, right? I mean, let's just gift it to them. And you know, they wound up giving us some free noodle dishes. They said, oh, here, take this food. It was a great exchange.
Win-win.
But I realized also in my home refrigerator, my home freezer, I am much more purposeful than the average home cook. And we started talking about this wonderful initiative using Hillshire Farm smoked sausage to illustrate to people not only ways in which they might better utilize their freezer, but how they can be more intentional organizing it, how it can save them money, how you get out of it, because it's also a piggy bank. I counted, everyone in our house is going away for the next week. Some people are going on a vacation. I'm going on a work trip for a week. And so certain things get frozen. You know, we take our garlic and our ginger, you know, puree it in the the little tiny food prep machine that we have for small things. And I freeze it because I don't want it to go bad. There's like 14 oranges. Everybody likes oranges in this house. There's like 14 oranges, right? So we juice them and put them, we got like 1.5 quarts of orange juice and I put it in the freezer. So during the holidays, you know, that's going to be my base for my cranberry sauce, right? And some of it I can turn into a sauce for duck. I mean, you know, you have to work that way. Otherwise, you're just wasting food and money, right? But I try to explain to people that if you want to be less intimidated by the freezer, number one, you have to pack things differently and you have to label. So I keep, you know, cheap blue tape and a magic marker, you know, in the little drawer by the refrigerator, everything. And by the way, I keep another set of it in the drawer that has all the Ziploc bags and those plastic half quart containers. Everything gets labeled. Everything gets a date, because if it has a label and a date, I don't have to look at it and go, what was that? What soup was that? Because I will tell you, as someone who just looked upstairs in their freezer both last night and this morning, it's hard to tell the cream of potato and leek soup from the mushroom soup, from the clam chowder, and even from the chicken stock when it's frozen. And it has that white sheen on the outside of it. Then you have to open up the lid and kind of rub it with your fingers and give it a, I mean, it's crazy if it's not labeled. Second thing, we are all time poor. So when I come home for dinner, I want to be able to defrost things quickly. So I don't freeze a quart of soup anymore in a quart plastic container. And the reason is, or in Tupperware or something like that. And the reason is it takes a long time to defrost, or I have to put it in a microwave and it won't defrost properly, safely, or it could damage the food, you know, overcooking parts of it while still not defrosting other parts of it. That's just the way a microwave works. So what I started doing years ago was freezing everything in plastic bags and freezing them flat on trays. And then, you know, an hour after I put them in the freezer, they're stiff enough to stand them up. And so they literally look like books in my freezer, and I can flip through them really easily. Oh, there's orange juice. Oh, there's soup. And, you know, you have quart and, you know, 2-quart freezer bags. It's very simple to use. We have silicone reusable ones so that we're not, you know, creating more of an environmental problem. A very small investment made my food life a lot better. And those silicone bags paid for themselves in about 2 months. Which was, just an incredible experience to see that we really started using more stuff up. I think that if we can give people really simple, easy recipes using convenient protein sources, it also helps our meal planning and take stuff out of our freezer. I would love, personally, my goal is to have one day in the future to have an empty freezer. I'll then fill it up again. It's hard in Minnesota in the wintertime. I'm actually making chicken soup tonight, and I'm going to make 8 quarts of it. We'll probably eat 2 quarts of it over the next day and a half before everyone leaves. But the other 6 quarts will go in the freezer. And I do have a you know, one of those chest freezers I got at the dented appliance shop that every town seems to have, where I just keep soups and sauces labeled. So I know that's where they are, because that's a different type of meal. But, you know, with Hillshire Farm Smoked Sausage, I was able to, you know, they challenged me to create a couple different recipes and gave me a directive actually on one of them, which I loved. As a professional chef, when people say, oh, give us any recipes, I'm like, oh, please don't do that. You know, I'm pretty creative. It's like, it just becomes impossible for my mind. But they actually gave me some boundaries because they had found in the same poll what common items people have in their freezer. So I created 3 recipes for them, including one that I actually had to invent for a phyllo dough wrapped grilled Hillshire Farm smoked sausage length, about 4 or 5 inches. So that was a full portion, where I put caramelized onions, peppers, mustard, and apricot or peach preserve inside, so that you got, instead of dipping in the sauce, everything was in this roll. So you could actually eat it out of hand, or you could slice it in half and use it as a fork and knife meal. You could cut it in little pieces and make bite size, you know, stick a toothpick in it, use it as an hors d'oeuvre that everyone in the office absolutely loved. I've been using Hillshire Farm smoked sausage for as long as I can remember, several of their products actually. And I absolutely love them, and they're so easy to use and incorporate into soups and stews and stir fries. I did a fried rice with one and substituted the sausage for the Chinese sausage that I usually use, and it was just fantastic. Everyone loves it. And I've always used it in my grandma Zimmern's tailgate pot of love that we created a slightly easier version for the home cook that takes less time so that you can make it for a quick weeknight supper with things that you have on hand in your freezer, you know, like broths and stocks. Even if you're buying boxed stock in the supermarket, a recipe calls for 2 cups, then you have 2 cups left. Pour it into a quart bag, freeze it flat and stand it up. Then you have 2 cups ready for the next time you need a few cups of stock, and it defrosts in seconds under cold running water. So there's an endless amount of tips and recipes at hillshirefarm.com. If you go to their recipe section, mine are there. We have some cool videos for them. There's a lot of stuff on my website at andrewzimmern.com. And it's, I mean, overall, you know, this is not about shilling for a company, you know, and I think a lot of people hear or see a well-known food personality doing something with a brand, and they think, oh, this is just about that product. It's not. This is about making everyone's food life easier. This is about wasting less. This is about having more time to be with each other because we're making our cooking life simpler, but we're still cooking something together. This is about all the things we love about cooking and interacting with our families. This is about making food that everybody likes, that's accessible and fast and not expensive. And I just think it's hopefully a little inspiration for a small lifestyle change regarding people's freezers that makes people's lives go a little smoother. And I love the, I hope this comes out sounding the right way. It's so nice to see that there are, you know, quote unquote, big food companies that really believe in all those things too. Hillshire Farm gets it. And I really enjoyed working on the project with them. And I think we have 3 great recipes and a lot of really great tips for home cooks to utilize.
Well, and I will say, and I don't have a dog in this hunt, so to speak, but I love their turkey kielbasa because it's like, it's low fat. It's very versatile. I've used that for probably as long as they've made it. I don't even know, but they do make good products. So
I always have a length of it in my freezer, and I always have a length of it in my fridge. It's just been a favorite of mine. And, you know, we all keep certain foods around because they're good and they can be utilized in so many different ways. I mean, sure, I can cut it into slices and throw it on the grill and, you know, put it on a couple of pieces of rye bread, and that's great. But when I sliced it and put it into my fried rice and developed that recipe around it, it was transcendent. I mean, you know, ginger, garlic, and, you know, soy, and a little sesame oil, and those traditional rice, fried rice flavors around Hillshire Farm smoked sausage was fantastic. The little bit of smokiness from the sausage really lent itself to the rice. And, you know, being able to show people, you know, I use a wok, but you can use a no-stick pan, you can use a stainless steel pan, you can do it so many different, you know, any pan can make fried rice. And by the way, I make rice in my rice maker. We always have a few cups left over because you never know if someone's just addicted to the sauce of whatever it is that I'm making. You just got to eat with a lot of rice. And sometimes I put the rice in my refrigerator knowing I'm going to make fried rice the next day, but I travel a lot. So I started freezing my rice in 2-cup portions in Ziploc bags, same deal, patted it down with my hands. And that defrosts in like 15 minutes just at room temperature. And you can almost go frozen right into the pan. The problem with doing that is that it has to quickly defrost in that heat before you can break it apart and stir fry it. And sometimes it scorches a little too much. So I encourage people to defrost it for 15, 20 minutes out of their freezer. But you can freeze cooked rice and you can use it in soups and stews or in my fried rice recipe. And you know, it's those little things that help us all save money, but more importantly, it's a huge time saver as well. And there are a lot of people who can't afford a food life of any kind, and we have to change that in America. But everyone is time poor, everyone. And that's a national tragedy. So hopefully anything that we can do to save people time is valuable as well.
A quick question. So I watched your fried rice video. I think it was in this video. And you actually froze, I think, egg yolks, which I would never, or beaten eggs rather, which I would never have thought of. I guess you just run that under some cool water and you've got beaten egg. But
you know, two eggs beaten in a Ziploc bag take up so little space, just 10 minutes on the counter and they're liquid again. 30 seconds under running water, they're liquid again. Eggs freeze really well. And the problem with eggs is that people think that they don't go bad, but the shell is porous. And yes, you can keep eggs for a couple of weeks in your fridge for sure. But then I recommend beating them. And if you do a lot of baking, separate them and beat them. I keep a bag. I always have a lot of recipes for egg yolks. And then when I build up enough whites in my freezer, I think it's 16 egg whites for my angel food cake recipe on my website. I make an angel food cake and it's just such a great way not to waste. And they freeze beautifully. And sometimes you'd like egg drop soup or in fried rice. It's great to have a couple eggs. You know, I discovered this when we had eggs. They were sort of going, they were on their last legs, right? And I used them up for a recipe. And then I bought new ones and then I was going away. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do with these? I'm gone for like a month. What am I going to do with these six eggs? And I just, you know, beat them and froze them. And then I came back and I used them in a frittata or I think maybe my chocolate bread pudding. It's the greatest thing in the whole world. Freezer is your friend, right? And if you label and you freeze the right way, I think it's less intimidating. And I really would encourage people, you know, eat meals out of your freezer. You do have to be intentional. If you haven't been utilizing these tips for a while, you've got big clunky things in your freezer, you know, put them on a paper toweling, you know, so they don't sweat and dirty up your fridge, defrost them safely inside your fridge and utilize them. You know, that's your food piggy bank, but eventually stuff goes bad in a freezer. And so we need to make sure that we're using what's in there.
Yeah. We try to do our shopping list from the freezer at least once every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You know, when we're making our list. Just there's gotta be stuff. I know there's stuff in there we can use, but you are my freezer paradigm. Now I need to watch that. How you had your freezer organized with the Ziploc bags, like a Rolodex. I thought, wow, that's
a goal by themselves. It's just so simple. And once you get into it, it's so easy. I mean, I'll give you a really good example. Raspberries, right? There was one point this year where a rainstorm was coming and the farmers, all of a sudden raspberries, I mean, I had a ton of them. So I'd already made jam. So I bought them and I froze them for about 25 minutes. I did it in five or six batches. That's how many raspberries I bought. Just spread individually on a tray, froze them and then bagged them in 2-cup portions. By doing that, they stayed whole. So then when I defrosted them and utilized them, yes, some broke during that process, but a lot stayed whole. So it was great for the raspberry pancakes. It was great for my raspberry lemon pound cake and all the other things that I was utilizing them for. Dumplings or ravioli or pelmeni or any kind of stuffed pasta thing, freezing them flat and then bagging them means they don't stick together and the edges don't break and chip. I mean, It's just the act of bagging helps so much. And then labeling and having them vertically is really, really, really important.
Cool. So is there anything we didn't touch on here that we need to get across to folks as far as...
I think we've covered it all. I would encourage people to visit hillshirefarm.com. It's a great website. Click on the upper corner in recipes. All of my stuff is there as well as on andrewzimmern.com.
Okay. Yeah. I'll put all that stuff in the show notes too. So one last question, besides the family dinner, which the new season's coming up here in a couple of months. Is there any other interesting projects we should keep an eye out for coming from you?
Yes, but I think I'm embargoed from talking about them. I have another show coming out on another network in Q1 2022, right? That's the one that's coming up.
I believe. Well, you tell me. I'm still stuck in 2019 in some ways with this whole pandemic.
It's so confusing to me. This whole year thing. First quarter of 2022, I have a new show that's coming out that's going to get a lot of attention. I'm very excited about. Magnolia Goes Linear the first week in January and takes over the station formerly occupied by DIY. So that's pretty cool.
Okay, cool. Good to know. Well, Andrew, thanks so much for stopping by. It was an absolute pleasure and an honor to have you here.
I appreciate it, Roger. You have a great rest of your day, and hello to all your fans, and keep cooking.
Thank you. Will do.
Take it easy.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Andrew Zimmern. Lots of interesting information when it comes to working and cooking out of our freezers as home cooks. If you want some info on the links or other information that Andrew mentioned, kitchencounterpodcast.com/198 is the place to go. So Andrew, thank you so much for stopping by the show. Really looking forward to the next season of Family Dinner and some other new projects that you've got coming up at the beginning of the year. All right, folks, don't forget to check out southernfood.org and the Nitty Grits Podcast Network. Check out other great shows like The Connected Table, Eating at a Meeting, Tip of the Tongue, The Nola Drink Show, and more. Lots of good stuff there and more good stuff on the way. I can't hardly believe that it's November already, which means at least here in the United States, holiday cooking season is rapidly approaching. We'll have some content related to that coming up very soon on the show. All right, that will do it for one more episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Thank you again so much for taking time out of your busy day to listen in to what we have going on here at the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Thank you for helping me welcome Andrew to the show, and I hope you're getting a chance to get into the kitchen and put some of these tips and tricks and inspiration to work in your own home cooking journey. Until next time, I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.